This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas B'Shalach, learning in the Shul this week, graciously sponsored by our dear friends, the Wengers, commemorating the yahrzeit of Dr. Wenger's grandfather, Avram ben Avram, and Shama should have an aliyah. Here we are, Parshas B'Shalach, and of course, Bnei Yisrael are leaving Eretz Mitzrayim, Vayhi B'Shalach Paro Asam. When Paro sent the nation out, Hashem didn't send them. Derech Eretz pushed him because he was afraid, Penny Nachema, Ambiro, Sam Milchama, lest the nation regret their departure when they see war, Vishabu Mitzrayima, and they will go back to the land of Egypt. Now, the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Siegel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, learned an important lesson from Hashem's comment over here. He explained that the generation that left Mitzrayim was a tested generation, time and again. And still Hashem did not want to overtest them with the test they couldn't pass by sending them into a war. And so the Manchester Zatzal opined that we see how Hashem only tests someone with tests that he or she can pass. So even in the moments when someone declares, I'm weak, he or she can take strength from the fact that Hashem sees him or her as strong and is able to rise to the occasion of the test and to be successful in the process. Pen yinachem ha'am. Vayasuchein. And of course we're told, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, V'yashu v'yachanu b'lefnei p'yachiros. And of course, what happens? Vayasuchein, they did so. And Rashi notes the praise of Bnei Israel that they listened to Moshe to counter their inclination of running away from their enemy, choosing instead to stick to his words and to return to Piachiros instead. In essence, they declared, Ein lanu ela divrei Bnei ben Amram. They only listened to the words of Ben Amram. So Rav Nebensal Shalita explained that this praise was more significant here than in other instances. For in this instance, the Anan, the protective cloud, didn't move back behind them to lead them backwards. That only happened later, the night before the splitting of the Yamsuf. And so thus the fact that they followed through only came with the trust of the son of Amram and without direct observable support from the Anan. They still followed it, and it's a major credit to them that they did so. Az Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu sang. And Rashi explains that Moshe saw the miracle. And so he decided to sing. Now, why did he just sing at this point, but didn't sing at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim? So Rasalvichik explained that Moshe didn't sing Shira upon being saved. It was Yisro who was the first who sang about being saved. Moshe's whole Shira was about the power and glory of Hashem. He felt that Shira was not about thanking Hashem for being saved, but in recognition of the divine revelation which took place. And Moshe wasn't amazed by Hashem saving Bnei Israel. He knew it was going to happen, but when he witnessed the tremendous Kiddush Hashem, then he was inspired to sing the Shira. And we're told within the context of the Shira, Zek Keli Vanveu Elokei Avi Varom Amenu, the God of my forefathers, and I will exalt him. And Rashi notes that Moshe was highlighting the fact that he was not the beginning of Kedusha, but that it began a lot earlier than he. Now, why does he need to highlight that now? So the Menal of the Lumzer Yeshiva Zetzal, Ramosha Rosenstein Zetzal, explained that when one is experiencing supernatural events, it's crucial to highlight that these events are not the first wake up to faith. It's not because of the crucial miracle that we are now going up to waking up to faith. The foundations of Emunah, of faith, have been in the world for many, many generations, going back to the time of Avram Avinu, who was willing to fight the entire world for it. That's the foundation for the faith. And that it just happens to be in these moments, we get the chance to go back to those things. It strengthens, not recreates, that which was a yesh me'ayin. No, that doesn't work, because sometimes that becomes more difficult to maintain. After the Jews go through the situation in Yamsuf, and then to Mara, and then to Elim, they wind up turning around, and they find themselves in a place where they ask for bread, and of course they vayomer ishalachiv manhu, they get something, and they turn to one another and they say it's man. So why is there a stress on the fact that each person said it's man to his friend? Why don't you say vayomer manhu? What's ish el reyehu? So if Gedaya Eisman, the Mashgiach of Kol Torah Yeshiva Zatzal, noted that the power of this heavenly food was that it changed the person consuming it to the point where their neighbors didn't recognize each other due to the effects of the man. And he suggests that the same thing is true for the power of tefillah. Through tefillah, we can literally change who we are into an ish tefillah, who's a totally different being, a totally different perspective, which changes who we are as people. And of course, towards the end of the parasha, we read the parasha of Amalek. Hayah kasher yarim Moshe yado begavar Yisrael, v'chasher yaniach yado begavar Amalek. When Moshe raised his hands, the nation won. And when he let them drop, Amalek looked like it was winning. Rav Dessler explained that the use of the hands here differently than the classic style implied by the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. In other words, Rav Dessler noted that one needs to employ symbolism at times in order to focus on the spiritual lessons learned. By lifting his hands, Moshe was highlighting to the people to consider the power of Amalek. He did the same thing with the copper snake. When we consider the power of Amalek, which is a sneak attack, we're not startled and we're prepared for it when we're expecting it. We're on alert. However, when the hands come down, we're open to forgetting, and that's when Amalek has its power. And so we need to be able to be ready to counter that power, because otherwise we lose in the process. And that's what we say, Ki Yad al Kis Ka, Milchama l'Hashem ba'Amalek. There's a hand on the throne of Ka. And Rashi cites the Tanchuma that notes that the name of Hashem is not going to be complete until the destruction of Amalek. And of course here, the name that's used is the Yod and the Hey. And Rav Shechter would often quote Ramosha Soloveitchik Zatzal, who explained that the issue is not the standard assumption that while there's evil in the world, Hashem can't rule over it. That would be apikorsis, that would be heretical. But rather, while the fact that Hashem will always run the world is clear, as seen from the letter Yod at the beginning of the word, which implies a prefix to something in the future, and that He's always has run the world, as the name ending with a Hey implies the past, when we see evil like Amalek of every generation, we have a hard time seeing the supremacy of the name of Hashem, even though it's here. And so therefore, we note that it's case ka, with the yud from the beginning and the hey from the end, and need to fill in the vav and the hey in the middle in every generation. That's our message. We have a responsibility to realize that when things aren't so clear to us with Amalek, the shame of Hashem will be very, very apparent to the world, to the people in the world in the present. When that comes out to being in a full sense. Finally, in the Haftorah, the very famous Haftorah of Shiras Devorah, we read a concept, Tevorach Minashim Yael, that the Yael, the wife of Chever Akeni, should be blessed. And the Gemara Nazir notes that an Avera Lishma, an Avera done for the glory of Hashem, is greater than a mitzvah done without Lishma, without intent. And the proof is from Yael. But the concept of Avera Lishma is an odd one. It literally means an Avera with the intent to sin, not to do a mitzvah. And how could that be praiseworthy? So the Chasam Sofer of Moshe Schreiber Zatzal explained that Yael thought she was losing her Olam Haba, that there was no ancillary benefit to her at all. And that is an Avera Lishma, and it's a more sacrifice and indicative of belief than an Avera that's done for the purpose of a mitzvah or a mitzvah that's not done Lishma. The action may have been a correct one, but there's no understanding in the process that whatever I'm doing, I'm losing my Olam Haba in the process. Avera Lishma is a very, very difficult concept, and it's one that requires a tremendous amount of opportunity for us to consider who Yael was, but we certainly praise her, because she created a situation whereby HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation would be able to continue to reign supreme. That's the way those who are the enemies of Hashem should be destroyed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the opportunity to get to the point where we will be able to go ahead and achieve greatness and understand and appreciate greatness. May we get there speedily in our day. Shabbat Shalom to all.